Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you're here joining with me today on a Wednesday, January 12th, 2022. Goodness, I have to stop and think, what is the date? And what's worse is, what is the year? too many numbers. 01, 12, 20, 22. Yeah, we're just in using a few numbers repeatedly. Oh, well, I hope you're having a great day. I hope you've got a cup of something hot. Nice, hot, bold coffee with a little cream to tame it down a little bit. You may hear me coughing a fair amount. It's not because I've caught anything. I'm having to clear my throat because I take an acid reflux medication, and because of another medication I was taking temporarily, I couldn't take the other. And so I've been having more acid reflux, and one of the consequences is you get, you know, kind of having to clear your throat all the time, a little irritation because of the stomach acid. But thankfully, yesterday, I was able to go back on the old stuff. So hopefully in a few days, I won't be clearing my throat every little bit. So I'm just going to use this coffee therapeutically to keep that tamed down. Well, thanks for listening. And I was looking at the temperature as I was letting the wiener dog out. She woke me up this morning with her welcomed bark. For years and years, if she had to go, she just went, whether it was on her little kennel bed or whether it was on the carpet. And about a year or so ago, year and a half ago, she figured out, oh, I'm supposed to consistently pee outside. Yes, you are, Molly. And so now she wakes us up, you know, like at 5 or 5:30 or 6, saying, hey, I want to go out. So anyway, I was looking at the temperature, and it was in the mid-30s. And it's like, wow, that's kind of nice. It's a nice break, you know, not being such a low temperature. I used to not think so much about it as far as if I just, you know, whenever I was driving to work and we didn't live on the farm, I would just, you know, have my coffee and then I would go outside, start up the engine, turn on the defroster, come back in, have another cup of coffee. And whenever I'd go out, I had a toasty warm car and everything was fine. And we just don't do it that way around here anymore. We get up, we may have a cup of coffee, and then we bundle up and we go out to the cold truck and we drive. You know, we could walk, but we're lazy old people. And so we drive about, oh, how far would it be? Maybe 800 feet to 1,000 feet to the farmstead. And then we walk around and we take care of the animals. And then we come back and we, you know, try to get warm. Sometimes if it's not super cold and we bundled up too much, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm wet with sweat. But, oh, it's kind of nice not having, though, the bitter cold. That isn't fun for the animals. It isn't fun for us either. But I was looking at a meme, a little thing put out there. If I can find it again, open up my photos. I had saved it. And it's titled, 11 Weird Things Your Anxiety Makes You Do. And it's put out there by Mind Journal. Says, learn more in article, but I never saw the article. I just saw this and I grabbed it because I scavenge different things off the internet. But as I was looking at the list, and there's 11 things on there, I started, you know, thinking about, kind of questioning it. 11 weird things your anxiety makes you do. And I agree, these things are common with anxiety. There's a correlation. If you have anxiety, you have a lot of these things. If you have a lot of these things, you have anxiety. But is the anxiety that's causing a person to do these things or think in this way? Or Can we get in a pattern of doing these things and thinking this way that then results in emotions of anxiety or depression? So it's like, which came first, the horse or the cart? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I think what's important is to recognize that both these things are connected. And if you want to change this, do you just try to change the emotion and keep the belief or keep the action? Or should you get rid of the action and replace it with something that's healthier so you can have a different emotional response? So let's go over these. And, you know, you can kind of keep a checklist if these are things that impact you. And if they are, well, what do you want to do about it? Do you want to just go, yep, I've got it. I've got anxiety. I guess I'm always going to have anxiety, blah, 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 blah. Or do you say, yeah, I've got these and I'm sick and tired of anxiety. I don't like it. I don't like the depression that comes with it. I want to do something about it. I want to change this. Now, there's different strategies on what's effective for change, but you got to start with, I want to change this. Because if you never change it, guess what doesn't go away? Oh, yes, you can take medications or you can drink or you can drug, and that may reduce those sensations of, you know, those emotional sensations, but that's not really a cure, is it? So let's go down this list of 11, and I will try to keep my verbosity in check and not overly explain anything. They're not that hard to understand. Number one, you always imagine the worst in every scenario. Yeah, this is a pattern of catastrophizing. And how often does the worst actually happen? If you've been listening to prior podcasts, you've heard me say over and over again, I don't believe in worst case scenarios because my mind can always ramp it up to something even worse. So what somebody believed was the worst really isn't. And how often does that worst thing actually happen? Oh, well, you know, if I prepare for the worst, then when it doesn't happen, then I feel relieved. Well, that's a really high price. That's like, I'm going to buy insurance for everything I do just in case the worst thing happens. But then whenever it doesn't happen, see, I'm relieved. Yeah, but you're broke. You have no money because you insured every possible thing that somebody would sell you insurance on. So don't imagine what's the worst case scenario. Think about what's the most likely to happen. Then prepare for that. Counter, you know, that possibility. But don't think about the worst case because worst case scenarios just kind of paralyze you. Number two, you overthink about the smallest things. Okay, so let's say you're paying for something and there's so much, you know, it's like, you know, $1.37. And so you pull a dollar out of your billfold, but you got a pocket full of change, so you're going to give them exact change. And you've got three pennies that of which you need to decide on two to give to the cashier. Well, do you sit there and look at those three pennies and debate in your mind? Gee, I wonder which one I should give them. If I give them this one, it's really shiny and they may think that I'm just trying to show off. And this one here is really grungy and old and kind of corroded somewhat. And if I give them that, then they're going to think bad about me that I'm just giving them, a lousy looking pen. No, hopefully you don't go through that kind of a debate. They're just pennies. They're just pennies. If I'm walking around and I pull something out of my pocket and some change falls out, you know, if it's a quarter, I'm picking it up. If it's a dime, doggone it, with my fingers, it's harder to get those picked up. But I don't bother picking up pennies. Not that I'm being arrogant. It's like, I remember as a kid, it was exciting to find a penny on the ground. So maybe I'm, you know, it's a way of giving pleasure to some stranger, that some kid that would see that as a treasure. But don't overthink small things. You don't overthink which coins to give to pay a bill. You don't do that. And But do you find yourself on other things just obsessing over the smallest? You know, we can definitely get wrapped up with perfectionism and overthink the smallest of things, trying to make everything perfect. Guess what? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Number three, you have trouble falling asleep even when you're sleep deprived. Okay. That sleep issues come with both anxiety and with depression. And when you got biological things going on, if you get your sleep cycle screwed up, if you, when you lay down, if you're in a pattern of worrying and thinking about worst case scenarios that might happen tomorrow and you can't do anything about it, yeah, you can have trouble falling asleep. You can have trouble because of what you're thinking about in your head. You can also have trouble if you get the biology screwed up. So if you do have trouble falling asleep, even when you're sleep deprived, do a little hunting on the internet for cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. It's a very simple, straightforward approach. There's different clinicians that are trained in it. You can probably find some stuff online that's self-help because it's not deep therapy. It's just more of an educational model, in my opinion, and it's very effective. So that can help you. But you see, what you're doing then is not going with a worst case scenario. Oh, I'm never going to be able to sleep again, blah, blah, blah. I kind of like the term blah, blah, blah these days. But it's a very effective approach, and you're doing something constructive about it. Number four, you reject invitations even if you want to go. Okay, if you want to go somewhere, why would you reject it? It's probably because you've gotten in a pattern, some sort of a negative thinking. People aren't going to like me. I'm going to be the only person there. No one will sit at the table with me. No one will talk with me. You know, those kinds of things. Well, are those true? Are those worst case scenarios? Is it based upon past experience? You know, sometimes we go to an event, maybe it's a wedding we've been invited to, or it's a graduation thing, and we don't know the people there, and we sit down at a table, and no one comes and talks to us, and it's just kind of a sad or embarrassing or uncomfortable thing. Well, if that's the case, then yeah, you've got some past experience where that's happened, so what do you want to do about it? Hide away and don't go to something you'd like to go to? Or do you put on your party hat? Do you get yourself prepared in a wanting way to have conversation with people? And are you willing to maybe make the first step in order to interact with others? You know, if you're rejecting invitations, even if you want to go, figure out what it is and counter it. Number five, you consistently feel scared of saying something stupid or wrong. Well, if you're worried about that all the time, guess what? You might actually be doing it a little bit more because it's making you more anxious and you're questioning everything you think and say. Maybe it's time to say, sometimes I'm going to goof up and say the wrong thing, and that's okay because guess what? Here's a big secret. Everybody does that, and everybody is worried about that to some degree. It's just that some people are paralyzed with the fear, and others have just accepted that's a part of reality, and it's okay. So that might be a thing to think about or do. You know, you're going to say some stupid things. I've said stupid things in front of hundreds of people. And I see a reaction. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. I don't think that's what I meant to say. And I laugh, and that gives them permission to laugh. And they're not laughing at me. They're just laughing at the circumstance. Let's see. Number six, you always compare yourself with others. Stop doing that. Just stop it. Stop the comparison. You're different. You've had a different history than other people. You have a different way of looking at things than other people. You have you know, you have advantages in some ways and other people have advantages in other ways. But when you compare yourself with others, you're in essence ignoring or maybe even rejecting, you know, the good positive things that's going on in your life. Just a second. I'm wondering. Nope, it's all working good. Okay. I was afraid that the that things weren't not recording. Because that's happened to me lately. I've had some goof ups with this recording. I've had to start over on recent ones. Let's see. So don't compare yourself with others. Nothing good really comes of it. Number 7, you are easily worried with words of concern. Yeah, if somebody mentions a concern, don't let it turn into worry. See, worry takes you to worst case scenarios. Concern recognizes some sort of a danger or some sort of a threat, and you can counter it. You can neutralize it. You can do something about it. If there's a storm coming, a winter storm, and it's, you know, 8 hours from hitting you, well, if you, you know, you could worry, oh my gosh, I don't know if I've got enough bread and milk in the house. I don't know if I have this. What if the electricity goes off? What if that goes off? What if another thing happens? Well, that's worry. And you get so wrapped up in all the worst case scenarios, you can't do anything about it. But what happens if you think about it from a viewpoint of a concern? Well, if there's a winter storm coming, and where I live in the country, there's a natural concern. And there's things that we have done in moving out here to take care of it. We have actually 2 refrigerators. We have 1 in the house and 1 in our lodge. We have deep freezes. We have bulk storage for propane that goes to a generator. We also have bulk storage that goes to a heating system. So if we do have, because of a storm, electricity cut off, and that does frequently happen with storms, we lose electricity. We've got a generator, and we have enough bulk storage that can get us through basically any winter storm. You know, if it knocks out and we're out of, you know, power for a few days, we've got enough bulk storage that we can handle it. And we keep enough food, you know, between freezers and refrigerators that we can do fine. We can weather a winter storm. We don't worry about it. We don't worry about it. We have alternate methods for getting water. We have our tap water that we have with our rural water service. We have water that comes from an old well that on the property that we have electric pumps to. And if we don't have electricity to it, we've got the old well pump. The hand pump, you know, the kind that when you went to great-grandpa and grandma's house and you pumped the well to watch the water come out. So when you have concern, you can do something about it. If you worry, you get stuck in the worry. Number 8, you get very nervous when you think about the future. Well, it depends on what you think about on the future. There's a lot of people that are terrified every single time a new variant name is announced. Okay. Well, is there a virus out there? Yes. How bad does it hit you? Well, it hits some people hard. I'm a case example of that. The majority of people, it hits them light. There's a lot more fear and worry about the future than what's really necessary. You know, when you think about the future financially, you know, what's happening with our country, what's happening with the debt, what's happening with inflation. You know, we can sit there and we can worry and worry, and all we see is the negativity. But, you know, I have a blessing in that my grandparents I knew very well. And they talked with me about raising a family during the Great Depression. And here's the funny thing. They really didn't know that there was a Great Depression for the first couple of years of it because it didn't really impact them. And even after that, the only impact they had was the shortage of money and the drop in grain prices. But as far as food, as far as what they needed, they were able to take care of it. And Grandpa took some jobs off the farm to cover, pay taxes and cover things that they actually had to have money to buy. You know, whenever they got sick, the local doctor, he was in the same boat too. He was willing to barter for medical services. So, you know, some people would bring eggs or meat or vegetables to the doctor to pay for their visit. My dad and my grandpa went to the river with a box wagon, shoveled in a load of sand and gravel, and took it to the doctor's home because he was wanting to have some concrete made and do some work on his property, and that's how they did it. You know, so when we think about the future may be different, but guess what? You and I are both able to adapt to things pretty well. We can adapt to things pretty well if we don't let ourselves get obsessed with worry. Let's see. Number 9, don't blame yourself when others don't reply to your messages. Guess what? The world doesn't center around you. And other people have got lots of crap going on in their life too. And so if they don't respond to a message, don't jump into, oh, what does that mean? What does this mean? It probably means that either they agreed to your message or whatever in their head and they thought they responded but they didn't, or that they just forgot to respond altogether, or they didn't happen to see it. There can be a lot of reasons that are not horribly negative. And nothing is worth you blaming yourself for another person's action or inaction, as in don't reply to messages. Number 10, you feel unwell physically and mentally most of the time. Well, if you're doing all these things 1 through 9, do you think you might be feeling a little mentally unwell? Yeah, that kind of makes sense. And can that impact you physically? Of course it can. So what can you do physically to help yourself feel better? What can you do mentally to help yourself feel better? Well, if you spend all your time thinking about these negative things in the future or negative interpretations of other people, and you stop that and you start thinking about the positive things in the future, and you start thinking about the positive things about your relationships with other people, well, there you go. Can that start changing your feeling of unwellness and giving you a better feeling or moving in the direction of wellness? Of course it can. And finally, number 11, you find it difficult to forgive yourself for the mistakes you make at work. I'm going to say you find it difficult to forgive yourself for the mistakes you make anywhere and anytime. Forgiveness is a skill. And a lot of times people have wrong interpretations or wrong definitions of what forgiveness is. I used to, when I first started doing my private practice in Christian counseling, I kind of made the assumption that everybody had an understanding of what forgiveness was. That's not the case. I found that out over and over again. So I started doing a lot of education about what forgiveness is. And my favorite definition is, forgiveness is giving up the right to retaliation for the sake of something greater. Giving up the right to retaliation for the sake of something greater. You see, forgiveness is actually letting go. You know, if your child says something mean, do you hold it against them forever? Hopefully not. Some people have that pattern, but hopefully not for you. Why would we want to forgive somebody? Don't we want to get back at them? If we forgive them, are we saying that what they did was okay? No, Not necessarily at all. If you're forgiving somebody, you forgive because there was something done wrong, an offense, a crime, a sin, a whatever. Something bad was done. But for the sake of something greater, such as, this is my child, I love my child, I want to have a good relationship lifelong with my child, and so I'm not going to continue to hold it against them. I'm not going to bring it up over and over and over again. If they realize what they did was wrong and they come and ask for forgiveness, I'm going to forgive them and it's done. You know, there was a movie Bing Crosby did and Danny Kaye was in it also. Goodness, who were the two gals in it? It was called White Christmas, and it's a wonderful movie. We listen or we watch it every Christmas. But in the beginning of the movie, Danny Kaye's character saves Bing Crosby's character from a falling wall that's during World War II. And there was some shelling in the area where they were, and a building was hit, and this wall starts to fall. And Danny Kaye, he pulls Bing Crosby out of the way, saving his life, but he gets injured in his arm because of it. And all throughout the movie, whenever Danny Kaye wants Bing Crosby to do something, because now it's after the war by a few years, he always wants him to do, when he wants him to do something, Bing Crosby doesn't want to. He always makes reference to his arm that he got injured. And Bing Crosby's getting ticked off because this just keeps going on and on and on. And so you don't want to do that. You do not want to do that at all with especially somebody you care about. And if you're doing it and you don't care about them, then that's a whole other discussion. But you're giving up the right to retaliation. Why? For the sake of something greater. And maybe it's because this relationship is really valuable. You want to reconcile. And if it's not a valuable relationship, if it's some, you know, jerk in a car that cuts you off and then flips you off or yells at you or what have you and drives off and you're never going to see him again, well, then the something greater is going to be your own sanity. You don't want to keep having that happen. And there's different things that people do. Sometimes what I do is I may make a rude comment, but then I stop and I think they're probably having a horrible day. And if they're having a horrible day, then I ask for God to bless them. Bless them. Help them to have a better day so they're not sharing this anger or frustration with other people that they work with or they encounter or their family. But bless them, help them to be able to let go of whatever the negativity is that's affecting them right now. You see, then that lets you to have freedom from whatever that offense is, whatever that problem is. And sometimes, well, I'm going to say always, the hardest person to forgive is yourself. And we need to do that most because then when we hurt ourselves, well, we're often doing it in silence. And who's going to help us? You don't want to be in that pattern. You want to let go of it. Anyway, this was a good little thing. 11 things that, you know, that is, I see a correlation between actions or beliefs and anxiety, and I'm going to throw depression in there too. So if you see some things that ring a bell for you, it's like, when I look in the mirror, I see that. Well, do something positive about it. Do something positive. Do some self-healing. It'll do your body good and do your mind good too. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will catch you next time for another cup of coffee. And I think it's getting a little lukewarm. I may have to microwave it. Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye.